Maverick Early Readers. Shooting Star by Katie Dale. Illustrated by John Lund. This is Gold Book Band. Let's begin. Chapter 1. Stella Smith was just like every other girl her age, except for three things. 1. Stella couldn't walk. But that didn't bother her. She loved whizzing around on her wheelchair. 2. Stella was adopted. But that didn't bother her either. She loved her adoptive parents, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and they loved her. 3. Stella could fly. She loved soaring up to the ceiling and doing loop-the-loops around the lampshade. The only problem was, Stella had to keep her flying secret.
"If anyone finds out, they might take you away," said Mr. Smith.
"Or experiment on you," added Mrs. Smith.
"Or put you in a zoo," said Mr. Smith.
Stella gulped. She was very careful. Whenever she went outside, she used her wheelchair. She never flew in public, and no one suspected a thing. But Stella wished she could fly in the big blue sky. One day, Stella's neighbour's cat got stuck up a tree. The tree was so tall, even the fire brigade couldn't get poor Tibbles down. Stella bit her lip. She knew she could easily fly up and rescue Tibbles, but she couldn't let anyone see her powers. Then she had an idea. Stella got out a sewing machine and her old swimsuits and leotards, and she made a disguise. She flew up and rescued Tibbles, and no one knew who she really was, except Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
"You're a superheroine!" cried Mr. Smith.
"We always knew you were special," said Mrs. Smith with a smile. "Ever since you fell from the night sky and crash-landed in our garden when you were a baby."
"That's it," Stella cried. "I'll call myself Shooting Star."
Chapter 2. After saving Tibbles, Stella got a real taste for being a superheroine. It felt so good to fly free at last, and it felt even better to help people in need. She rescued cats from trees, helped people in trouble at sea, and even caught robbers. "Thank you, Shooting Star," everyone called. One night, Stella was so busy saving people that she didn't get home until morning. She just had time to get changed and grab some breakfast before heading to school. But she was so tired that she fell asleep in her last lesson.
"Stella Smith, I hope we aren't boring you," snapped her teacher, Miss Gray.
No, Stella said quickly, waking up.
"Then can you tell me what this is?"
Miss Gray held up a metal box.
"It's a..." Stella tried to guess. "A lunch box?"
The rest of the class laughed. Miss Gray did not.
"It's a time capsule," Miss Gray said sternly. "It was buried on the school field 10 years ago, and we have just dug it up. Now come over, everyone, and have a look at what's inside."
Everyone gathered around the time capsule. Inside there were some old coins and notes, a class photograph, a stamped envelope with a class letter about everything that had happened that year, and a newspaper with the headline, "Where is Burglar Biggins's Bank Booty?" Stella picked up the paper to read the whole news story. The newspaper said that a man called Bob Biggins had robbed a bank, but the money he had stolen had gone missing. It was a mystery.
"I wonder if they ever found the money," Stella thought aloud.
"Silence!"
Miss Grey snapped, just as the bell rang. Home time. At last Stella could go home for a nap.
Not so fast, Stella, Miss Grey said. I'm afraid you will be staying late after your bad behaviour.
Stella groaned. It wasn't her fault she'd fallen asleep. She'd been up all night helping people. But she couldn't exactly explain that to Miss Grey.
Chapter 3. As the rest of the class left, Miss Grey gave Stella a piece of paper.
Your task is to write a description of all the contents of this box, she said.
Stella sighed. Miss Grey clicked on the radio and started her marking. Stella picked up the envelope, read the class letter, then frowned. The letter was written to be put in the time capsule. It had never been posted, so why did it need an envelope and a pretty stamp? Very odd. Stella moved on to the photo. It was strange to think that 10 years ago these kids were sitting in this classroom. She peered at the names beneath the picture.
Jenny Mulrooney, Fred Harris, Billy Biggins.
Stella frowned. No way. Could Billy be a relative of Bob Biggins, the bank robber? Suddenly, the radio news came on.
Police are still searching for escaped burglar Bad Bob Biggins, the announcer said.
Stella looked up sharply.
Biggins escaped from jail this morning, the announcer continued. Police have warned the public not to approach him, as he is a very dangerous criminal.
Stella grabbed her bag with her costume inside and headed for the door. This was a job for Shooting Star.
Where do you think you're going? Miss Grey said crossly.
To the loo? Stella said quickly.
With your bag? Miss Grey said suspiciously.
I'm not that silly. Finish your report. Stella bit her lip. She had to find a way to transform into Shooting Star and catch Bad Bob Biggins before somebody got hurt. Just then, the door burst open. Stella gasped. Even Miss Grey's mouth dropped open. It was Bad Bob Biggins.
Chapter 4.
Get out! Miss Grey shouted. This is my classroom!
And this is my robbery!
Bob yelled, snatching the envelope from the time capsule.
What do you want with an old envelope? Stella asked, confused.
Bob laughed.
It's not the old envelope I want. It's the old stamp. It's very, very old. So old, it's priceless.
That's how you hid your money, Stella gasped. You used the bank money to buy a priceless stamp and got your son Billy to bury it in the school field.
Clever girl, Bob said, grinning. When I saw on the school website that you were digging the time capsule up today, I had to come and get my precious stamp.
You'll never get away with this, Miss Grey cried. Shooting Star will stop you.
I'll be quiet, Bob said, tying her up.
Stella thought hard. If she flew across the room, she could quickly grab the stamp and rescue Miss Grey. But she couldn't fly without her costume on, because her secret identity wouldn't be secret any more. What should she do?
Bob turned to Stella with another piece of rope, then stopped and laughed.
I don't need to tie you up, he grinned. You're just a kid in a wheelchair.
Stella scowled as he ran from the room, then raced after him. She just needed somewhere private to transform into Shooting Star. But the corridor was full of kids leaving after school clubs. Stella hurried into the loos, but there were more kids in there. Stella panicked. There was nowhere to transform.
Chapter 5. Powers or no powers, Stella couldn't let Bob get away. She hurried outside and spotted him running down the busy street. Stella pushed hard, but she couldn't keep up in her wheelchair.
Then Bob ran down a hill. Stella smiled. Bob sprinted as fast as he could, but Stella's wheelchair was faster. She zoomed down the hill, dodging rubbish bins and lampposts. Her wheels were a blur as she got faster and faster until finally she swerved and ran over Bob's foot.
"Yow!"
Bob yelped. He hopped around clutching his foot and dropped the envelope. Stella grabbed it just as a police car screeched to a stop beside them. Bob tried to run, but his foot hurt too much and a policeman soon caught up with him.
"Ouch!" Bob yelled. "I should have tied you up too, little girl."
"Never underestimate a kid in a wheelchair," Stella said, grinning. "This is Bad Bob's hidden money," Stella cried, handing the police the priceless stamp.
"Well done," the police officer said, as they handcuffed Bob. "Sorry we took so long. We're used to shooting star-catching bad guys for us. I wonder why she didn't come this time."
Stella smiled a secret smile. "I guess sometimes you don't need superpowers to save the day." The end.